This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
You're listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani, who will be covering Imam Yusuf al-Nabhani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, as well as Imam Zarnuji's guidance for seekers of knowledge regarding the ways of seeking knowledge. تعليم المتعلم طرق التعلم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد ذي القدر العظيم وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل وألهمنا رشدنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We're continuing in our daily Rawha to look at 40 hadiths on the virtues of the Quran and the virtues of the people of the Quran and of the virtues of its recitation. And we've reached hadith number 31. And this collection by Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabhani rahimahullah ta'ala, he relates عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال القرآن شافع القرآن شافع مشفع وماحل مصدق من جعله أمامه قاده إلى الجنة ومن جعله خلف ظهره ساقه إلى النار رواه ابن حبان في صحيحه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, القرآن الشافع مشفع. The Quran is an intercessor and its intercession will be accepted by Allah. The Quran intercedes and its intercession is accepted by Allah. ماحل, it is it's an adversary. It makes a case against you and it is accepted. Right? So the Quran either intercedes for you and its intercession is accepted, Shafi'un Mushafa, or Mahil, or it is your adversary and its argument against you is Musaddaq, is accepted as a case against you. Right? So as the Prophet ﷺ said, جعله حجة لنا لا حجة علينا. Oh Allah, make it a proof for us and not a proof against us. And in many du'as, that Allah raises some people with His book and abases with it others. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال بعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثا وهم ذو عدد فاستقرأهم فاستقرأ كل رجل منهم يعني ما معه من القرآن فأتى على رجل من أحدثهم سنا فقال ما معك يا فلان قال معي كذا وكذا وسورة البقرة فقال أمعك سورة البقرة؟ قال نعم. قال اذهب فأنت أميرهم. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent forth an expedition. وهم ذو عدد. And they were of a large number. So he asked them all about what they had of Quran. So each presented what they had of Quran. Each person of them doing so. And then he came upon a man who was of the youngest of them in age. And the Prophet ﷺ asked him, "What do you have, O so-and-so of Qur'an?" He said, "I have this and such and such surah and Surah Al-Baqarah." And the Prophet ﷺ asked, "Ama'aka Surah Al-Baqarah?" I said, "Do you have Surah Al-Baqarah?" And the man said, "Na'am, indeed I do." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Idhab fa'anta amirhum." Say, "Go forth, for you are their leader." فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَشْرَافِهِمْ So a man from the notables amongst them said, وَاللَّهِ مَا مَنَعَنِي أَنْ أَتَعَلَّمَ الْبَقَرَةَ إِلَّا خَشْيَةَ أَلَّا أَقُومَ بِهَا So one of their notables said, "By Allah, nothing prevented me from learning Surah Al-Baqarah except the fear that I not fulfill its rights." Because anything that you know is a case for you or against you. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تعلموا القرآن The Prophet ﷺ said, "Learn the Qur'an. وقرأوه and recite it." Right? And part of it is, learn the Qur'an, that this is the great merit of the Qur'an. Its people are honored in the sight of Allah. And also, let not the fear of not fulfilling its rights hold you back. Because this notable man said, "Well, I'd have learned Surah Al-Baqarah too, but I just feared that I wouldn't fulfill its rights." That should not hold you back. Learn the Qur'an. وَقْرَأُوهُ and recite it. فَإِنَّ مَثَلَ الْقُرْآنِ لِمَنْ تَعَلَّمَهُ فَقَرَأَهُ كَمَثَلِ جِرَابٍ مَحْشُوٍ مِسْكًا يَفُوحُ رِيحُهُ فِي كُلِّ مَكَانٍ So the Prophet ﷺ, because the example of the Qur'an for the one who recites it, for the one who learns it and recites it, is like a leather pouch filled with musk whose scent spreads out in all directions. وَمَنْ تَعَلَّمَهُ فَيَرْقُدْ وَهُوَ فِي جَوْفِهِ كَمَثَلِ جِرَابٍ أُوكِئَ عَلَى مِسْكٍ رَاهُ التِّرْمِذِي وَقَالَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ Right? And the example of the one who learns the Qur'an, but then they sleep on it, meaning they don't recite it, they don't act upon it, despite having it within them. Their example is like a container that had been filled, that had musk in it, right? But it is not giving any scent, right? It's not giving any scent. Right? So what's the benefit of the benefit is latent or lost. So here, of course, we see a number of lessons, right? This is not taken literally. There are many considerations for leadership. The knowledge of Qur'an alone is not the only consideration for leadership. But also, this is one to highlight, the Prophet ﷺ did this illustratively, to highlight the great merit and rank of those who learn the Qur'an. Number two, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, learning the Qur'an was, they learned both recitation of the Qur'an, and they also learned its meanings. Right? So the Qurra of the Qur'an, the reciters of the Qur'an were ulama al-sahaba. They were the learned companions because they learned both the words and from their concern of learning it, they sought its meanings. Right? And they acted upon it. And so the three were contained. And Surah Al-Baqarah is particularly notable because all the essential guidance of the Qur'an is detailed in Surah Al-Baqarah. It's not just the longest surah of the Qur'an, but it's the most comprehensive surah when it comes to the injunctions of Islam. And there's many, many hadiths on the great merits of Surah Al-Baqarah. Which is why the ulama would say, after learning the final few ajza of the Qur'an, they would recommend then learning Surah Al-Baqarah. But the short surahs are easier to learn and so on, and momentum, but that should be something that one aspires to, particularly if one is a person of knowledge, because there are so many, there's so much of the guidance of the religion is there in Surah Al-Baqarah, from beginning till end. That's why many people said that all the guidance of the Qur'an is contained in Surah Al-Baqarah. And because of that, one of the 20th century scholars, Sheikh Sa'id Hawa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he wrote a work of tafsir called Al-Asasu fi Tafsir. And he shows how every part of the Qur'an, how it goes back to some part of Surah Al-Baqarah. He maps out the whole Qur'an. It's quite a detailed tafsir. Hadith number 33. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من استمع إلى آية من كتاب الله كتبت له حسنة مضاعفة ومن تلاها كانت له نورا يوم القيامة رواه الإمام أحمد. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever listens to a verse from the book of Allah, a good deed is written for them. مضاعفة, multiplied many-fold, to the extent of the sincerity and the seeking in that listening. The sincerity, the attentiveness, the reflection, the outward and inward states in listening to it. وَمَنْ تَلَاهَا, and whoever is, so this is the great merit of listening to the Qur'an. وَمَنْ تَلَاهَا, and whoever recites it, it will be for them light on the day of resurrection. رواه الإمام أحمد. This is related by Imam Ahmad. وَعَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَمْرِ رَضِي اللَّهُ تَعَلَى عَنْهُمَا. It's related by Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من قرأ القرآن فقد استدرج النبوة بين جنبيه غير أنه لا يوحى إليه. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever recites the Quran, they have prophethood between their two sides, except that they do not receive revelation. Because what is the Quran? The Quran is that which was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one, whoever has that which was granted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that you are not, but you did not receive revelation, but you have embraced revelation within. So that's a tremendous meaning, which is why it continues, لا ينبغي لصاحب القرآن أن يجد مع من وجد ولا يجهل مع من جهل. It's unbefitting for the person of Qur'an to heedlessly rejoice with those who heedlessly rejoice. وَلَا يَجْهَلَ مَعَ مَنْ جَهِلْ. Nor to be ignorant with those who are ignorant. And ignorance is to act heedlessly or contrary to knowledge. That if people are, you know, this is وَفِي جَوْفِهِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, when within them they have the speech of Allah. رَاهُ الْحَاكِمُ وَصَحَّحَهُ. أَنْ يَجِدَّ يَغْضَبَ وَيَحْزُنُ, or there's other meanings too, of rejoicing, or to be moved with those who are moved. Right? To be rejoicing, you know, to have all the foolish or the senseless human emotions. Because a person of Qur'an is a person of certitude. A person of Qur'an is a person of certitude. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الصيام والقرآن يشفعان للعبد يقول الصيام ربي إني منعته الطعام والشراب بالنهار فشفعني فيه. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that fasting and the Quran will intercede for the servant on the day of resurrection. Fasting will say, O Lord, I prevented them from food and from drink all day. So accept my intercession for them. وَيَقُولُ الْقُرْآنُ رَبِّي مَنَعْتُهُ النَّوْمَ بِاللَّيْلِ فَشَفِّعْنِي فِيهِ. And the Quran will say, I have prevented them from sleep at night. So accept my intercession for them. فَيَشْفَعَانِ or فَيُشَفَّعَانِ. And there, and so they intercede, or so their intercession is accepted. رواه الإمام أحمد والحاكم. So the Quran comes as an intercessor. That's a great merit. And only those things whose intercession is accepted are allowed to intercede. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is there to intercede with him except with his permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لله أهلين من الناس. So Sayyidina Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه, the personal servant of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, said that truly Allah has chosen ones amongst people. قالوا يا رسول قالوا من هم يا رسول الله. They said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? قال أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصته. رواه النسائي وابن ماجه والحاكم. The Prophet, the Messenger of Allah said, truly Allah has أهلين, chosen ones, has elect amongst people. They said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the people of Quran are the people of Allah and His most chosen. And this is not just someone who memorizes Quran. What does it mean to be of the people of the Quran? One of the most beautiful expositions of that, and a lesson that deserves to be listened to again and again and again, and a standard by which to measure oneself, is when Sheikh Abdullah Al-Haddad of Fez, one of the senior most scholars of our time, we were blessed to have him at the hub here in Toronto a few years ago, he gave a lesson on this. And we confirmed the lesson a week before the lesson, and he kept sending messages that tell Sidi Faraz, I'm preparing for this. Said, tell Sidi Faraz, you've given me a big topic. Why? Because, and of course, and to make a point, right, he actually wrote out the whole lesson. He had pages of notes. And we have an ongoing joke about when theft is permissible or not permissible. So I asked him, Sayyidi, can these be stolen? He said, I'm carrying a stick. But what it means to be a person of Quran. Right? Whoa. Right? Because the a person of the Quran is the one who beholds Allah in his speech. As Imam Al-Habib Hassan Al-Bahr Al-Jifri, one of the great imams of the Ba'alawis from a few centuries ago, he says about how we recite the Quran in his work Sifatu Salat Al-Muqarrabin, وَشْهَدْهُ فِي كَلَامِهِ. Behold him in his speech. Behold him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his speech. Right? So all the sincerity, all the striving, all the recitation, all the adab, all the reflection, all the understanding, all of it is to behold the one addressing you. Right? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means. And those are the most chosen of Allah's servants. عن عمران بن حسين رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه مر على قارئ يقرأ ثم سأل فاسترجع ثم قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من قرأ القرآن فليسأل الله به فإنه سيجيء أقوام يقرؤون القرآن ويسألون به الناس رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. What does فاسترجع mean? So Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that he passed by a Quranic reciter who recited the Quran and then he asked, meaning he asked for money. فَاسْتَرْجَعَ فَاسْتَرْجَعَ is to say إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We are Allah's and to Him do we return. So this great companion, Sayyidina Imran ibn Husayn, he passed by a qari after the time of the Prophet who recited and then he begged. Sa'ala, basically he begged. He asked for money. And he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever recites the Qur'an should then ask Allah by it. And this is one of the adab of dua, right? Of Qur'an. After reciting the Qur'an, you ask Allah, one for acceptance, and number two, after reciting the Qur'an is one of the greatest moments to make dua. For there will come people who recite the Qur'an and they ask by it the people. Ask people in exchange for reciting the Qur'an. So the ulama talk about the issue of al-istijaru ala al-ta'at, right? Accepting money for acts of obedience. Because an act of obedience is one that's done in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an act of worship. And there's detail amongst the fuqaha, the early Hanafis were in agreement that لا يصح الاستئجار على الطاعات, that it is not valid to accept payment for any act of worship. Because acts of worship, by their definition, the only لا نسألكم عليه أجر, we seek no payment for you regarding it, from it. And in أجريا إلا على الله, my reward is only for Allah. And other texts about the Quran, about this, about so many other things. So that's the asl, that personally it is impermissible and not valid to have a contract for payment for any act of obedience or act of worship, which is both the act of worship, which includes recitation of Qur'an, and also teaching the deen, which is an act of worship. However, but it is a communal obligation to support those who are fulfilling the furudul kifaya of learning the deen, of teaching the deen, of freeing oneself up to be imam, etc. All the communal religious functions, it is a communal obligation to support them. And when there was shortcoming in the fulfillment of that communal obligation, they said, لِلضَّرُورَ يَصِحْ. It is necessary out of, it is permissible out of necessity. Because otherwise these communal obligations will not be fulfilled. But they said, شَرْطُ الثَّوَابِ فِيهَا الْإِخْلَاصُ فِيهَا. The condition for being rewarded for them and for being safe in them is that one be careful to be sincere regarding them. And this is one of the places where sincerity is truly tested. But this is a situation in which there's a lot of fitna in our times, right? Where people initiate religious projects specifically because it'll make money. Or who praise others. What with istihsan, الدُّنْيَا عَيْبٌ. And to consider good the merely worldly is blameworthy. So say, oh wow, that's such a successful project. They're minting money. They have this is all ghafla, and it is blameworthy praise, because it is not. And we have to look very carefully as communities how, especially in a material age, how our communal religious functions are fulfilled, and the professionalization, or actually the commercialization of religion that we see as a result of the lack of communal support is a tremendous fitna. But also those who pursue it, whether they be people of knowledge, be ulama, or they be students, if they're only in something because, well, this is paying the bills, then for them to beg on the street is safer for them than for them to be insincere. Right? نسأل الله العافية. However, it remains impermissible, in the Hanafi school at least, and Imam Bilbirgivi and others have treatises on it, to pay someone purely for reciting the Quran. One, because anyone should be able to recite the Quran. Right? And that's, although that's not a big phenomena in our time, but we should be honoring the people of Quran, etc. But it is a bad phenomenon. That's, you know, someone who's complaining, they send their kids to the local masjid, and per hour of Quran, they have to pay X amount of dollars. That's why much of our community does not know the Quran. Because you made the religion expensive. Right? And that's something that's a huge fitna. Hadith number 38, عن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن تغدو فتتعلم آية من كتاب الله تعالى خير لك من أن تصلي 100 ركعة. Abu Dharr رضي الله تعالى عنه relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, for you to head forth in the morning and learn one verse of the Book of Allah is better for you than for you to pray 100 rak'ah of prayer. وَلَأَنْ تَغْدُوَ فَتَتَعَلَّمْ بَابًا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ عُمِلَ بِهِ أَوْ لَمْ يُعْمَلْ بِهِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَنْ تُصَلِّيَ 1,000 rak'ah. رَاهُ ابْنُ مَاجَةَ بِإِسْنَادٍ حَسَنٍ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, as related to Abu Dharr, for you to head forth in the morning and learn one book, one verse of the Book of Allah is better for you than praying 100 rak'ah. And for you to head forth, and taghdu is head forth in the early morning. This also points to the great merit of learning in the early mornings, the ghadat, which is the early morning, from where you have breakfast time is ghadat, but the morning time. But if for you to head forth in the morning, but it has that specific meaning, and that's indicated by specificity, but has a general meaning of for you to direct yourself. فَتَعَلَّمْ بَابًا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, and to learn a chapter of knowledge, whether it's acted upon or not acted upon, is better for you than praying 1,000 rak'ah, said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which is of course telling us about the superiority of learning over mere memorization. And sometimes people like criticizing the fuqaha or the learned because they're just ignorant, those doing so. So some people make fun that the jurists have the presumption to say that learning, that reading our books, studying our books, has more reward than memorizing the Quran. Did they just make that up? Right? This is stated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Because what Islamic knowledge is the meanings that are affirmed in the Quran. And it's not an either or. You need to do both. Right? But there is tremendous merit and to make a dichotomy between knowledge and devotion is an error, because the knowledge of aqidah, the knowledge of the science of beliefs, the knowledge of fiqh, the knowledge of hadith, the knowledge of usulul fiqh, the knowledge of all these other sciences, it is all min ilm al-Qur'an. It is all from the science of the Qur'an. Right? What does it mean? Aqimu salah, establish the prayer. What does it mean? Atu zakat. What does it mean to distribute your inheritance in the way described in the Qur'an? What does it mean to take care of the orphan? What does it mean to be generous? What does it mean not to be excessive? All of these, this is, you know, knowledge is the fruit of the tree of the Qur'an. But both are required. Right? So for you to head forth in the morning, and this is the merit of learning, in particularly in the early morning, but heading forth in the general sense, for you to learn a verse of the Book of Allah is better for you than praying 100 rak'ahs. And for you to head forth in the morning and learn a chapter of knowledge, whether it's acted upon or not, is better for you than praying 1,000 rak'ah. Rahu Ibn Majah. And of course, it's understood also by what's called Isharatul Nas, that there is great, great merit in devotion. There's great, great merit in devotion. That this is taken as the standard by which other things are judged. So there's things that are superior to devotion. Right? But it also is pointing to the great merit of prayer. And the ulama say, and it's pointing also to the importance of the one that for the sign that you're learning Qur'an is a devotional act, that you're seeking knowledge is a devotional act, is that you have actual acts of devotion, which is the simple devotion, which is prayer in your discretionary practice, that you pray above and beyond the fard and the sunnah. Right? Particularly if you are seeking to be a person of knowledge. Hadith number 39, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ عشر آيات في ليلة لم يكتب من الغافلين. رواه الحاكم وقال صحيح على شرط مسلم. It's related that from Abu Huraira that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever recites 10 verses of the Qur'an at night is not written from the heedless. So this is two things. One, of the merit of reading at least 10 verses of Qur'an at night, right, that this is a safeguard against heedlessness. But also, if you reach the end of the day and you didn't get around to reading anything of the Qur'an, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us this gift. Read 10 verses of the Qur'an. It can happen. You have a morning routine of the Qur'an, you didn't do it. You normally keep a mushaf with you in your jacket pocket, but you left your jacket at the hub in the morning. And your smartphone, you decide to show how it doesn't break when you throw it, and you threw it, but it broke. You have no, so you didn't get around to reciting Qur'an. At the end of the day, recite 10 verses. And this is a safeguard from heedlessness. And of course, we know that there's particular merit, specifically as an aside, of reciting either the opening 10 verses or the closing 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf each night. And these are protection for one's faith. But any 10 verses would fulfill this general aspect. And of course, there's also within this a warning against heedlessness and all the qualities of being heedless. And the basis of all harm is heedlessness. And the final hadith of the 40 hadiths in the collection of 40 hadiths in on the merits of the Quran here, عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه. It's related by علي رضي الله تعالى عنه. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ القرآن فاستظهره فأحل حلاله وحرم حرامه أدخله الله به الجنة وشفعه في عشرة من أهل بيته كلهم قد وجبت له النار. رواه الترمذي وابن ماجه. سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever recites the Quran and retains it, right, meaning memorizes it, and then deems it's lawful to be lawful and it's prohibited to be prohibited, meaning they uphold its guidance, Allah enters them through it into paradise and allows them and grants them intercession for 10 of the people of their family, all of whom otherwise would be of the people of hell, meaning of the believers who had fallen short and were deserving of punishment in the hellfire. So this is the tremendous that the Qur'an intercedes not only for its person, but the person of Qur'an is granted intercession within their family and beyond, right, to the extent of their state with the Qur'an and its guidance, that whoever recites the Qur'an and retains the Qur'an, meaning memorizes it. And this applies most emphatically to those who memorize the whole Qur'an, but also to the extent that they retain it and uphold its limits, deeming it's lawful to be lawful and it's prohibited to be prohibited, not just by believing in it, but by upholding that. Allah enters them by it into paradise and grants them intercession for 10 of the people of their household. All of them otherwise would have been of the people of hell. And they say one of the meanings of this also is that the person who's transformed by the Qur'an, they serve as mercy within their household in this life before the next. Okay? That very often we have siblings or cousins or uncles or aunts or even parents whom we're very worried about. So you want to tell them about Islam. But if you devote yourself to the Qur'an, right, by reciting it and by retaining it, فَاسْتَظْهَرَهُ, this is pregnant in meanings. And the ulama, they explain it. So one is that يَنِي حَفِظَهُ عَنْ ظَهْرِ قَلْبِ, right, they memorize it. But فَاسْتَظْهَرَهُ, also to make it manifest. إِسْتَظْهَرَ is to make manifest. Who manifest its meanings. So this is one of the keys, that if you want change for good, you want guidance for your family, become a person of Qur'an. But not a person of Qur'an, not just by you shove Qur'an down other people's throat, but you manifest its meanings in your own life and conduct and uphold its limits. Then you will be granted paradise, but you will have already interceded. Why? Because your action would have transform them. Your transformation would have been a transformation for them in this life before needing intercession for them in the hereafter. And had it not been for that, they would have been headed in wrongful directions. That's also from. But also such a person will intercede, right, for those who had shortcomings in their family, as many other hadiths show as well. So alhamdulillah, we have completed this collection of 40 hadiths as well. The next collection, which I don't think is numbered soundly, it's the fourth collection of 40 hadiths, which we'll begin by looking at tomorrow, is 40 hadiths on the virtues of Iman and Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to realize us in the meanings of Iman and Islam. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Thank you for listening to the Rauha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help Seekers Hub give light to millions around the world by supporting us through monthly donations by going to seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US and Canada.